Gracious Fundamentalist Podcast, the podcast from a Christian fundamentals, but gracious, loving, and kind perspective. We will be sticking to the fundamentals of the faith of Christianity from a loving, kind viewpoint towards all of those who are within the actual body of Christ, all those who have repented and believed, but not only that, loving towards those who are unbelievers, that they too may come to the faith, that they may realize that they are sinners in need of a Savior, and that they need to repent and believe on Christ Jesus, the Lord, the only one who can save them, the only one who has saved them, who is their Savior, who has died, in fact, for all mankind, so that whomsoever shall believeth in him will have eternal life. Join us as we explore theological and philosophical topics using the Word of God and biblical means and worldview. Unless otherwise stated, all scripture references and quotes will be coming from the King James Version of the Bible. I still consider the King James Bible to be the king of translations for the English-speaking peoples. However, in order to understand why this is, one needs to understand the manuscript history underlying the King James Bible. One needs to have a firm understanding of the importance of our Bibles coming from the right line of manuscripts and the received text line of translations. Textus Receptus, Latin for received text, is a name retroactively given to the section of printed Greek language texts of the New Testament which constituted the textual basis for the original German Luther Bible for the translation of the New Testament to English by William Tyndale, 1526, Miles Coverdale's Bible, 1535, Matthew's Bible, 1537, the Great Bible, 1539, the Geneva Bible, 1557-60, the Bishop's Bible, 1568, and the King James Version, 1611, and for most other Reformation-era New Testament translations throughout Western and Central Europe, such as the Spanish Reina Valera translation and the Czech Bible of Kralis. The Textus Receptus has been translated into hundreds of languages. The origin of the term Textus Receptus comes from the publisher's preface to the 1633 edition produced by Abraham Elzevir and his nephew Bonaventure, who were printers at Leiden. Textum ergo habes nunc ab omnibus receptum in quo nihil imetum aut corruptum demus. Translated, so you hold the text, now received by all, in which nothing corrupt. The two words textum and receptum were modified from the accusative to the nominative case to render textus receptus. Over time, this term has been retroactively applied to Erasmus's editions, as his work served as a basis for others that followed. Many supporters of the Textus Receptus will name any manuscript which agrees with the Textus Receptus Greek as a Textus Receptus type manuscript. This type of association can also apply to early church quotations and language versions. It has a rich and full history, as the Textus Receptus type manuscripts and versions have existed as a majority of texts for almost 2,000 years. All of the apostolic churches use the Textus Receptus. Peshitta at 150 AD was based on Textus Receptus, Papyrus 66, and Textus Receptus manuscripts. The Italic Church in the Northern Italy, 157 AD, used Textus Receptus type manuscripts. The Gaelic Church of Southern France, 177 AD, used Textus Receptus type manuscripts. The Celtic Church used Textus Receptus. The Waldensians used Textus Receptus type manuscripts. The Gothic version of the 4th and 15th century used Textus Receptus type manuscripts. Caritonian Syriac is basically a Textus Receptus type manuscript. Vetus Italia is from Textus Receptus type manuscripts. Codex Washingtonianus of Matthew used Textus Receptus type manuscripts. Codex Alexandrinus and the Gospels used Textus Receptus-type manuscripts. The vast majority of extant New Testament Greek manuscripts are of the Textus Receptus-type manuscripts, 99% of them. The Greek Orthodox Church used the Textus Receptus-type manuscripts. Greek manuscript evidence point to a Byzantine Textus Receptus majority. 85% of papyri use Textus Receptus-type manuscripts. Only 13 represent text of Westcott and Hort type. 97% of uncial manuscripts use Textus Receptus-type manuscripts. Only 9 manuscripts use the Westcott-Hort type. 99% of minuscule manuscripts use Textus Receptus. Only 23 used the Westcott-Hort type. 100% of lectionaries use Textus Receptus-type manuscripts. Although 6 chapters of the Gospel of John were printed in Venice as early as 1504 by Aldus Manutius, and the whole of that Gospel was printed at Tubingen in Suabia in 1512, these editions are interesting only as literary curiosities, for they constitute the first portion of the Greek Testament ever committed to the press. They exercise no influence whatsoever on succeeding editions. The first printed Greek New Testament was the Complutensian Polyglot, which was from 1514, but was not published until 8 years later. Erasmus' edition was the second Greek New Testament, which he called the Novum Instrumentum Omni, printed and published in 1516. As early as 1505, Erasmus wrote to a friend, "I shall sit down to Holy Scripture with my whole heart, and devote the rest of my life to it. All those 3 years I have been working entirely at Greek, and have not been playing with it." The Life and Letters, page 87. Erasmus began working directly on the text much before 1507. Froude wrote that years before the text appeared, it was being prepared. He had been at work over the Greek manuscripts for many years. The work was approaching completion. Frederick Nolan, writing in 1815, states, "In addition to the manuscripts, which Erasmus owned or had seen himself, he gathered readings from various European nations through his broad friendship in universities, libraries, and monasteries." In 1512, Erasmus had been in negotiation with Badius Ascensius of Paris to publish the Vulgate of Jerome and a new edition of Adia. It did not happen, and Erasmus did not continue contact with Badius. While many critics of Erasmus and the Textus Receptus claim that Erasmus used only a small handful of manuscripts, this is not a correct hypothesis, because the libraries and scriptoriums throughout Europe would not simply give away manuscripts. Therefore, Erasmus traveled vastly to examine many manuscripts and wrote down variants, and thus had no need to personally acquire the manuscripts or have them on hand when he penned the Novum Instrumentum Omni. Erasmus updated his 1516 Textus Receptus in 1519, and again in 1522, 1527, and his final edition in 1535. Stephanus also edited the Textus Receptus in 1546, 1549, 1550, and 1551. Theodore Beza edited the Textus Receptus 9 times between 1565 and 1604. The authorized version translators used the 1598 of Beza, a disciple of John Calvin, who both had access to Waldensian versions and manuscripts. This family of text is also known as the Antiochian text, Byzantine text, Syrian text, Greek Vulgate, and until the 1980s, the majority text. The King James Version is the most accurate representation of the Textus Receptus, and is without translational error. Any translation faithful to this text is the Word of God by default. I do not believe that the King James Version, however, has any secondary inspiration. Modern textual criticism is focused on narrowing of the field to a few corrupted and rejected manuscripts, sidestepping the huge amount of Greek and Latin manuscripts, and the early church witnesses as unimportant, only to be used when they can be referenced to try to give support to the Vaticanus primacy corruption. It really is an anachronism fallacy, false definition, to speak of Erasmus, Stephanus, and Beza to be doing textual criticism, since their values were in general opposite those of Griesbach to Hort to Metzger to Wallace confusions. They based themselves on mostly the Greek and Latin manuscripts and the early church witnesses with some faith, consistent logical and grammatical type of internal evidence considerations. This is essentially the opposite of textual criticism of today, which has a base bias and presupposition towards the corrupted stream of Vaticanists and what's called Sinaiticus. For this reason, I am a received text KJV only Christian. That does not mean I think any of less of other Christians who do not use the King James Authorized Version as their English-speaking Bible. I do think that they would be better off using the King James, but we should not judge people's faith based on which Bible translation they end up using. This is something which should not separate brothers and sisters who are in Christ. Peace be to all of you out there listening to this. Peace be to you in Christ. And a wonderful rest of your day.